Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. Let's throw our Bibles over to Mark chapter 11. Now, we're reading here scriptures to build up our spirit, man, renew our mind in God's Word, to feed our faith in God's Word. You know, we first hear the Word of God on a subject, promises from God's Word. It helps us to establish in our life of what God wants to have. And as we keep on hearing God's Word, it helps us build that foundation that this is what God wants me to have. You know, Jesus said here in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever saying this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever saith." And then Jesus went on to say here in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Now here in 3 John, the scripture says here right before Revelation, in 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, now when you're born again, you're God's beloved, you're God's child." He says, "Your beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." It's God's will that we prosper financially in this life, have good health physically, and grow and develop spiritually and emotionally. Our soul needs to prosper. And as we renew our mind to God's Word, that's going to help our soul get renewed to God's Word. Our spirit's born again. When we received Jesus, we became a brand new creature. But now we've got to go to work on our soul and our body and keep our mind, which is our soul, our intellect, our feelings, renewed and under, just like we keep under our body. And it's very important to know that what God promised in His Word, it belongs to us in and through Christ Jesus. What Jesus, you know, Jesus, remember He said, "Learn of Me." And as we learn about what Jesus did for us, and what He redeemed us from, and what He bought for us and gave to us, then we can take advantage of those blessings. So, you know, when it comes to God's Word, what did Jesus do for me? What does God want me to have in life? Well, whatever Jesus did is what God wants you to have, and it's up to you to accept it, to believe it, to receive it, and to confess that it's yours. So here in 3 John, I mean, this is one of the, you know, scriptures that, to me, when I first heard it, a minister would read this or teach on it after I got born again. To me, almost sounded too good to be true. And I remember sharing it with other people, excited about it, and talk them into that God wants them to prosper and have good health. Now, the doubt would come to me whether God wanted me to have it or not, but that was just the challenge of taking God's Word and renewing my mind to God's Word. It's like, you know, renewing your mind to God's Word takes some time. It's like kind of getting a virus out of your computer. Somehow it got in there. You want to find out how it got in there. And, you know, the security somehow let it get through. Well, we want to get rid of it, right? And then see to it, it doesn't happen again. Those aren't fun, are they? Now, some people spent days trying to get it out. Well, in our life, we were taught all kinds of things about God. And many of those things was not true. It wasn't the way God is. But the truth is God's Word. God's Word is truth. You know, the Scripture said, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." So God's Word is truth. And we're to meditate on God's Word. Psalm 119:160 says, "The Word is true from the beginning." God's Word has always been true and always will be true. It's eternal. It's supernatural. It's going to last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not God's Word. And as we renew our mind to God's Word, so like this scripture in 3 John verse 2. Now, I got thrilled about that. Told people about that. People born again, Spirit-filled people. And thought, you know, they told me, you know, you'd think they'd be doing handsprings over it. And they kind of look at one another. Not all of them, but many of them. Too many. One's too many. But they'd look at each other, you know, and they'd begin to try and explain it away to me. And then I'd get scripture like, maybe not in this order, but 1 Peter 2:24, found out, I was sick the first 18 years of my life. And so, you know, to find out about 1 Peter 2:24, that said, "Who his own self bear our sins, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unrighteous, by whose stripes you were healed." I didn't know what stripes were, but I jumped on that part, "You were healed." That eliminated, I'm going to get healed someday. Because up until that time, I think that's what I believed. But to know that Jesus already purchased this for me. And then scripture like 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." I mean, Jesus took poverty and sickness and disease along with our sins. He did all this for us so we could become blessed in life and enjoy the blessings of God. I mean, Jesus finished it. He paid the price so you and I don't have to. And what we want to do is take God's word, find out what God promised us, get those epistle letters and dig in there. Get your highlighter and highlight scriptures that are speaking to you, that promise you something, that something belongs to you. Like go through those epistle letters and highlight scriptures about the righteousness of God in Christ. And highlight scriptures that who you are in Christ and in Him scriptures. And then periodically just go back and reread them to yourself. To remind yourself that who you are in Christ Jesus. That's in scripture like Galatians 3:13, 14, and verse 29. You know, when I was a child, there's kids in school that were wealthy, and they were Jewish children. Well, I thought as a child, you know, boy, if I'd just been born Jewish. Well, then one day in my life, I received Jesus my Lord. I got saved, born again. And I heard Galatians, minister teach on Galatians 3:13, 14, and 29. Christ has redeemed us, the curse of law, being made a curse for us, written curse over the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might bond the Gentiles. Well, I was a Gentile. And here all the blessing that God had promised Abraham belongs to the Gentiles because Jesus bought it and gave it to us as believers and to the whole church. Jews and Gentiles, bond or free, all come into family of God through Jesus Christ have the same blessing. That the blessing, not the curse, but the blessing of Abraham might bond the Gentiles to Jesus Christ. Verse 29 said, and if you be Christ, if you belong to Him, well, I did, I got saved, received Jesus my Lord, then you're Abraham's seed, and heir is growing the promise. Just as Isaac was an heir of those blessings, Jesus made me an heir of one. Woo-hoo, as Brother Shambach used to say. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus gave us everything He had, and He redeemed us from poverty. He redeemed sickness and disease. Now, you know, as a child growing up, they called me the poor little rich boy, some neighbors would, and make fun of you. And then at school, they say things about you being sick so much. Even teachers would. And so, you know, not knowing, just thinking maybe that's your lot in life, I guess. But then you get born again, start hearing God's word, and find out you've been redeemed from poverty, you've been redeemed sickness and disease. See, in the Old Testament, poverty and sickness and disease is a curse of the law, the broken law. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 68. So all those curses you read about in the Old Testament, Jesus redeemed us from them. God doesn't want us to suffer anything Jesus suffered for us. He wants us to receive what Jesus did for us and bought and paid for us. But see, so often, because of our religious upbringing and because of, you know, being brainwashed with religion and a lot just, you know, our minds being blinded to God's truth, when you begin to hear God's truth, you kind of kick against it. Some people do that by thinking, well, that couldn't be true because if that was true, if prosperity was true, I'd have had it by now. Or brother so-and-so would have had it. Or sister so-and-so would have had it. And on and on and on. Or if that was true, if healing is true and God wants everybody healed, then Sister Jones, she would have been healed. See, now, what happened? You're looking around for reasons not to get to work. It's best not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Just know that this is what God's promised. Whether anybody else got it or not, I'm going to enjoy it in Jesus' name. Now, if every Christian backslid, would you backslide and leave Jesus? Well, certainly not. Just because others did it, you'd want to pray for them. You'd want to intercede for them. It should. Well, because it didn't work out with someone else, it's really none of our business. Because all that's going to do is produce doubt and unbelief and cause us to stagger and wonder. And see, the devil will keep bringing that up. What someone else didn't get or what happened to them. They were, you know, no one loved the Lord more than they did. No one was more faithful than they were. And look what happened. They never did get healed. They never did have anything. And on and on and on. Well, really, that's none of our business. Remember Deuteronomy 29. Verse 29 said, the secret things belong to the Lord, and those things revealed belong to us and our children forever. So if He didn't tell you why it happened, this is best to leave it alone. And if you do know why it happened, it's kind of best to leave it alone anyway, because you're going to get in pride and think, well, you know, no, I never did do something like that. Well, we've all done something like that in one way or another. And so we don't have any business of judging anyone. Judge not, lest you be not judged. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Well, we need to turn things over to the Lord, you know, like we talked about yesterday, and cast our care upon the Lord, and just believe God that He's working out everything for our good. And rest in Him. Rest in those promises. Father, this is what Your Word says. Your Word says I'm prosperous. No, that doesn't mean we don't do nothing, but we don't worry about it. And that temptation to worry is going to come. That temptation to fear is going to come. That temptation to doubt is going to come. And it's trying to overtake it. But if we keep absorbing ourselves in God's Word, immersing ourselves in God's Word, well, I've been putting time in the Word, Brother Rich. Well, good. Praise the Lord. But we could all probably do some more. There's things in our life we could cut out and take that time and put that time in God's Word. This lady I knew, and she went to Bible school I went to, and you know, just, you know, real anointed and used of God. And maybe if I mention any, you probably know her. But so she after graduation, she started working for the ministry, and they gave her all kinds of responsibilities. And she ran the prayer school, or, you know, taught in prayer school or ran it, you know. And plus, she'd go out on weekends and minister and then come back and have to work at school 5 days a week. So she kept very busy, single lady at the time. And so one day, you know, she'd been praying and said, Lord, well, if I had more time to pray, I'd put that time in prayer. And so she's driving home from school one day, from work, actually, from the school she's working at. And the Lord told her that when she'd go home to relax, she'd kind of kick her feet up, so to speak, and turn on the TV and watch 2 half-hour episodes of some sitcom. You know, that's the kind of way she kind of wind herself down, you know. We all probably have something favorite we like to watch. Some people, it's sports, right? So on the way home, now see, if I had more time, I'd spend more time in prayer, Lord. So on the way home, it came to her heart, you could give up that hour and put that time in prayer. Well, then she went the other way. Now, Lord, I work 5 days a week for you. You know what? The prayer school and healing school and the ministry. And not only that, I go on weekends and preach for you almost every weekend. At least, you know, a couple a month. And I do this and do that. Well, see, that isn't what she said the other day when she thought if I had more time, I'd pray. She goes, you know, I realize that this is something I can give up for God and put that time in prayer. Well, so she did. Now, see, that'd be hard in the flesh, you know, deny yourself. That's pick up the cross and follow me. That's crucifying the flesh. Talk about suffering. See, we don't suffer the curse. There's things in our life that we give up. Now, by her doing that, a great door opened up to her. And, you know, not only that, some miracle family and everything else. She had no idea, probably at the time, that if I just put this extra time in prayer, this would happen. The point is, we don't get into guilt and condemnation because we're not praying. But we need to pray. We need to put time in God's Word. And when it looks like the Word's not working, put more time in it. When it looks like things aren't going the way they should be going, pour more time in the Word of God. Cut out other things. They're not going to help us anyway. And you'll begin to see as you immerse yourself in God's Word, the time we put in the Word and the effort we put in God's Word, it's going to affect us in believing God. You get so that it's almost impossible to doubt God. See, when doubt and depression and dark clouds seem to be talking you out of God's blessing, you know what I mean by dark clouds? It looks like you can't see the interest of God's Word. All you see is the bad things or things that you don't have in your life that God said you do have. Well, those are things that instead of us drawing back, you know, we need to do it more in Jesus' name. God's Word's medicine. And like we found out the other day, you know, you won't overdose on God's medicine. You know, maybe you'd be taking a prescription and talk to the doctor and then, well, you know, I didn't get any better. Well, double up on the prescription or the vitamins or whatever it was. You know, that's as a physician as well, you know. Well, so what are they trying to do? They realize you need to increase the dosage. Well, with God's Word, many times we need to increase the time we're putting in it. Instead of getting disgruntled and wonder why it's not working, show Satan, I'm not backing down, I'm going to put more time in it. And there's all of us have some time that we give up putting that time in the Word. Reading promises, meditating on the promises, praying the Spirit, doing those kind of things, are like spiritual exercise. They're going to help build us up. Again, remember Jude said in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. How are we going to do this? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God. Praying the Spirit, praying the Holy Ghost builds up our spirit man and helps us actually have spiritual discernment. We'll become more spiritual, more sensitive to our spirit, the leading guidance of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, who's in our life to lead us and guide us in all truth. I've been deceived before, and the reason was I just didn't do the Word that I knew to do and realize, you know, I miss God in that area. Well, thank God He's here to help us, and He'll let us know where we missed it and get us right back on course. Enjoyed being with you. I'm going to encourage you. Check out the stuff we got on our website at jesserichministries.com and get to our service we got. Make plans on coming. our seminars we got, services coming up. Till next time, this is Pastor Jesse Rich, reminding that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.